It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear. Here, my 4409 shirt. Yeah. I should show you that. Go get the picture that we had. We were on our trip, on the trip where we had in underwater. You haven't seen it? Go ask mom for it. I got to show you. I was wearing my 4409 shirt in the Caribbean, diving. Wearing, I was like, yep. The pirates. We were in the Pirates of the Caribbean wearing our shirt. Shelton was really happy about that. Well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you today what we're going to do. I've been busy all morning. Had hours of phone conversations and so much stuff I'd love to talk to you about. But we got two important guests on today, and maybe I may be able to kind of segue into a little bit of information, this and that. But certainly you want to listen tomorrow because I'll tell you everything. Bunch of stuff going on around the country. One of the things is, of course, we have... Oh, yeah, here it is. Go ahead and hold it up there, baby. I want to see if I can get this up there. Now turn it. Right there. Yeah, me and Donna in the Caribbean. That's right. We're in 4409. Yeah, those of you on video, you can see that. Now, what we're doing is 4409. The reason I bring that up, I'm wearing the shirt. It's amazing to me how well he's known around the country. 4409 is just one of the activists here. That and 4409 represents something, but it's a secret. I can't tell you. But it's something simple. It's kind of funny inside joke. But promise, won't tell you. And the reason is because he has over 40,000 subscribers. When he does a video, it goes viral because he does a good job. And he just uses, Windows Movie Maker and so on. But the boy's got skills. It's about content. And it's about things that people care about. And the next one's going to be on Quartzsite and what's going on out there. And we found out a lot of things. And we wanted to get involved in the banking and what's happening in the market and development and foreclosures and all this stuff. We start to see how all this relates with all this other stuff. And there's a lot of things I'm going to be sharing with you tomorrow. So make sure you make a note, even if you're listening to this on the archive or MP3 or iTunes or live, you're going to put in there, make sure you listening to tomorrow. There's a lot of stuff going on. Because tonight, there is the Ron Paul debate. Now today, I say I love you, baby. 27 years today, my anniversary, my lovely wife, Donna. So we have kind of put off, we're celebrating today. We'll do it later because Ron Paul debate tonight. I mean, still, you're still voting, but, I just loved watch Ron Paul slap him upside the head, especially when the market's doing what it is. You just can't wait to see how the other candidates are going to blah, 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 and the media going to blah, 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 blah. But what they're going to do is they're going to try and diminish his successes there, not only in the debate, but I think he's probably going to win Iowa. Well, last time I went 4 years ago and they had Diebold computers doing it, and it took 2.5 hours later that they get and finally around and you didn't. I mean, I don't trust the whole freaking thing. So I'm much more about the activism and culture change and informing. I don't give a crap what they say, but the campaign, man, they're getting serious about it. We're going to make sure we get the delegates and we're going to bust them in and we're going to do whatever. They're going to win. And if they win, they'll go, they're already hearing it on the talking head news. They're going to go, hey, Iowa doesn't matter. John McCain didn't even go last time he became the nominee. Iowa doesn't matter anymore because it doesn't matter because we say it doesn't matter because Ron Paul might win, so it doesn't matter. Oh, if Romney wins, though, all of a sudden it matters. It's the greatest thing since sliced bread, man. Oh, yeah, man, it's a trend. See, it's just a game that they play. I don't trust these people, but I'm big supportive. I'm giving up my anniversary night. Donna is. I mean, it's up to her, of course. So she's like, no, we'll have a party tonight. So it'll be up on Freedom's Phoenix. All those you guys listening that traditionally come here, here we go. We're going to have another party tonight debate. You know, we're going to go ahead and have some fun. We decided that just right before the show. I go, I need to know. You want me to announce it, call the guys? Because I know what's going to happen. A bunch of people come over. We'll have a good time. And then, you know, they say happy anniversary. That doesn't suck. And then we'll go out tomorrow. Now, the how this relates is as the economy does what it does, the banking, the financials are going stupid. I mean, you know, Bank of America is plummeted. There's all kinds of stuff. There's got lawsuits against them. There's settlement things. There's, everything is going against these guys. But that manifests itself where? In housing. Foreclosures. This stuff is still unwinding. It hadn't even started to really unwind. But we've had a gentleman on before, Stuart Vernier. Now, Stuart Vernier, he has a site, RealtyCrisis.com. Now, RealtyCrisis.com is a Wilshire Holding Group, Inc., and he's president there. And what he does is he is able to help people that are underwater. They just turn it over to him, and he takes all the hit from it or whatever. They get to live there as long as they can, and then finally they get kicked out. They got free rent, and he takes on all the responsibility. He's going to explain that to us. But after he does that and does his commercial, you know, then we're going to go ahead and get into what he knows about what's happening in housing and foreclosures. Today, my daughter and son-in-law, house that was like $360,000 at the peak, they put in an offer and accepted $173,000. Then it got appraised for $160,000, and they lowered it down to $160,000. They were willing to pay and paid all their costs, and now it's $160,000. They got this four-bedroom, multi-level, you know, McMansion kind of whatever here in Northwest Phoenix. So I'm going, you know, wow, wow. And it's going to go down from there. So we need to talk to Stuart. We're going to have him for the full hour. Now, real quick, I got you there, Stuart.
You sure do. Thank you, Ernest.
Now, Stuart, I want to go ahead and give you an opportunity. You get like a two-minute commercial here, man. Go ahead and tell the people what you do and where to go and how you're going to help them, then we'll get into the details.
Well, basically, what we do, it's kind of specialized, but if someone's made the business decision that it just doesn't make sense to own the house, legally, they, of course, can walk away from it. There's no debtor's prison, but we have a good exit strategy. We take over the ownership. We purchase the house for the amount of the debt. If they're living there, they can stay there as long as we own it, which runs around a year in Arizona. And we force the bank then to take a loss. But we're the owner of the property and not them. And Arizona is a good state for this because it's basically a safe harbor type of state. It's an anti-deficiency state. So the loan goes with the property, and once that's done, the people are pretty much out of the headache. And it will protect them from the tax consequences that could be generated from the lender issuing a 1099 for cancellation of debt.
Okay, so the main thing, and that was one thing I've been finding out here in Arizona, asking the people, how'd you get away with this short sale and so on and not be a 1099? And they were saying that there is some provision, if it's your primary residence and a home steading, whatever, there's some point that they don't have to pay this forgiving of the forgiving of the loan, a certain dollar amount doesn't come on them as a 1099. And you're
kind of, not exactly. What it is this, the bank has to send the 1099 if they write a debt off over $600. But the Mortgage Debt Forgiveness Act, it's retroactive to 2007 and extends through 2012, would exempt your primary residence to the extent of your original loan. Or if you refi and you specifically used proceeds to improve the property, that would be exempt. But if you took a refinance during the height and you took cash out and you bought a car or took a trip or did anything other than home improvement, that would be taxable income.
Okay, which a lot of people did. So
Yes. What
you do is that you're able to, like, look, I'll tell you what, you quit claim it over to us, sign it over to us somehow, then you take on all the paperwork, and they just get to live there while you're worrying about all the other stuff, and they don't get a taxable event, and it's all good, and they walk away clean, and you take care of it for them. Is that pretty much the bottom line?
That's basically it, and for that, we charge a small fee, but it's never much more than one payment.
See, RealtyCrisis.com. There's a lot of people can benefit from this, but he's in the know, Stuart Vanier, about a lot of other stuff that I want to ask him about. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with those questions and answers in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Talk show out of Phoenix on LRN.FM. Oh, by the way, BTW, Ian Freeman of Free Talk Live is in jail. Jail. Just been dragging out for a long time. What happened was is that there was an incident. You know, it's always the big bad guys hauling off good guys because they're not towing the line, respecting authority, whatever. Well, Ian stood in front of the officer's car. He's like, hey, man, you know, run me over, buddy. He just felt an injustice or whatever. Well, that put, oh, heck no. You know what? You might as well just drew the sword on the king's man. Well, they arrested or charged him with whatever, standing in front of a policeman's car doing, you know, pick your poison. So they charged him. It went through. He was convicted, appeal on about 90 days. 90 days into pokey. So, you know, I know Ian. I mean, he'll do the time. He'll come out, you know, being okay. He'll have his I did time stripes. And, you know, but I tell you what, you know, sitting 3 months in jail is ungood. So, you know, we got to do what we can to try and, you know, entertain him and keep his time there as, you know, so he remains his sanity and comes out at least as good, if not better, than when he went in. So we'll go ahead and get on Freedom's Phoenix and find how we can send you, because you're going to need his inmate number and address of where he's at and how and what people can visit and the list and all. We'll get all that information from Mark, and we'll go ahead and make sure that you have that. And I think Jason Talley, something, he has a bunch of stuff. We'll get the information out. Now, we put it up on Freedom's Phoenix, but we want to make sure that you know that Ian, you know, hey, when somebody's hauling me off for nothing, it's always nice to know that you got someone like Ian Freeman standing in front of the car to at least to bring attention. Now, of course, all that attention went to him. They're going after him. Lord knows what happened to the person that got arrested. Probably let them go. You know, later it's kind of a little slap on the wrist. Shouldn't do it. Oh, but you're not allowed to step in front of the car and stop. And we're going to go to, you know, the gulag. So, you know, thanks, Ian, for standing up for freedom. And sometimes, you know, it costs you. But we'll make sure that, you know, you come out ahead on this thing. Know what I mean? And we're going to do what we can to help Ian. So go ahead and pay attention. Go to freekeen.com, freekeen.com. And I'm sure they got a lot of information on there. Just Google Ian Freeman, Free Talk Live. Go to freetalklive.com, and you'll find out what's going on. You probably know more than me in 5 minutes. But I tell you, that happened yesterday, and while we were on the show, and we didn't know about it. I want to make sure we get this out. Because, you know, I don't think there's going to be any end anytime soon good guys getting arrested. One of the good guys we got on here, Stuart Vanier. Now, Stuart with RealtyCrisis.com, and it's a method by which you can free yourself from the man coming after you. You're going to lose your home. Well, you just want to make sure that, you know, all the paperwork and any tax responsibility and any liability and things like your homeowner association, all this kind of stuff goes away right after you talk to Stuart at RealtyCrisis.com. But being in that industry, and he started this back in California when they had an earthquake and all this kind of stuff, and prices went down and people are in the same situation are now, and he saw a market niche to where he could take care and help people with this kind of problem. And now that the banks are just being, you know, bad guys, well, he's like, oh, yeah, well, I can help you. Now, let's go ahead, and I gave you a commercial there, Stuart, but what I need from you is, where are the banks now? They're finding, you know, the stock market up, down, up. I mean, they're in trouble. So Bank of America, it looks like it's taking a big, giant hit. And they were thinking they were the big boys, too big to fail. Are they still too big to fail? Are they going to bail them out? What's going on with Bank of America and friends?
I sure hope we don't do any more of these bailouts. And I don't think anyone's too big to fail. Bank of America's biggest mistake was they bought that garbage portfolio from Countrywide. And they thought they'd make a big killing. Well, they did make money. I mean, because they're selling stock, and that's what these banks did. They bought this big portfolio that they could package as mortgage-backed securities and sell on Wall Street. And that's what all these banks did. It was all greed.
Yeah.
And they're in trouble. They're in trouble.
So where are they at now? I mean, what's going on? When you have, you know, my wife asked me this morning, and I didn't have a really good answer for her. She goes, so what? You know, Bank of America's stock went down to nothing. You know, and how does that affect them? What do they care? Did they own the stock? They didn't own the stock? You know, how does that affect them?
Well, what has happened is, you know, they received all these TARP funds, like all these major banks have done. And the TARP funds, from what my understanding is, they were a preferred creditor. And, you know, they don't meet the solvency test, these big banks, like little banks that could take. So what they've done is they've taken these preferred shares and converted it to common shares, and they've actually taken the liability and turned it into an asset. So it's a game of smoke and mirrors.
Well, someday this is just falls apart. I mean, here we have what's going on in Europe has a big impact here, and there's a lot of reasons why. But, you know, we hear that they are starting to think about doing what they did a couple of years ago. The people that are selling the financials short, they go, there's no way they're going to be able to sustain this. And I know there's a lot of these people. They're just like, look, man, we'll hold out and hold out and hold out and hold. Sooner or later, it's going to take a dump. It did. And they say, ooh, look how much money we made. Now, in Spain and France and so on, they're talking about not allowing short sales. They're going, no. We know it's going to go. So what? We're going to make a new rule that you can't make money when it goes down by betting it's going to go down and you're not allowed anymore. And I'm preemptively, before it even happening, you know something we don't know? And I'm going, wow, that seems like this. They talk about contagion. What's happening in Europe is it's so the banks, the European bank, central banks, and the Fed and so on are so intertwined that it's like they even got reverse back and forth loaning of each other, whatever. And it seems like the entire thing is ready to fall. And it's not based on anything. I'm wondering why it's been held up so long. Help me with that. What has given this support and it go up to 12,000, whatever, on the Dow anyway? What was holding it up there? What made that happen?
Well, again, it's all a game of smoke and mirrors. I mean, Germany just bailed out a number of countries. They've bailed them out to the tune of 1.5 times their entire gross national product. I mean, it's a mess there. And we have a president that said he was going to make us more like Europe, and I think that's what he's done. We're not as bad as them yet because we're still Americans, but we're headed that way if we don't do something to change it.
Head in what way? What do we have to look forward to? In your industry, you're seeing more foreclosures, less? Are they ramping it up? Are the prices going down? Short selling, selling happening more? Tell me about your niche, man. What's going on?
There is no recovery, not in any near sight. They can artificially manipulate it by keeping foreclosed homes off of the market rather than flood it. But they're out there. There's 4 million homes sitting out there, either foreclosed or in the process of foreclosures, and more coming. And the values, it would normally be, when I was in the mortgage business, if you'd have a foreclosure in the neighborhood, the appraiser would make a note of it, but it would be an exception, and they wouldn't use it to consider value. Today, it's the norm. So prices are going to stay down, and I think they're going to even dip a little more. But like your daughter, it's a great time to buy a piece of property to live in or for the long term, but not to flip. Those days are over.
Yeah, no, the interest rates are low now, and the price is low now. And when we come back, I want to find out what's going to happen with the interest rates. Are they destined to go up? I mean, this happened when we went through this kind of thing and inflation of the dollar after the Carter administration. It's early Reagan. Volcker comes in. Boom! Interest rates went through the roof. Well, a lot of people are expecting that to happen again if they're going to save the dollar, but maybe they don't want to save the dollar. Something else is going on. And, you know, Stuart Vanier, he's right there up against it in the housing. We'll find out.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this cheap B-movie. Headlong down the highway and you're rushing headlong out of control. And you think you're so strong, but there ain't no stopping and you can't stop rocking. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, there's something you can do about it. You can complain. They say, hey, what's up, man? What's this going on? You know, this is what's going on here in Arizona and Nevada, and a lot of places, Florida, you know, all over the place. But I, you know, it's definitely here in Arizona. I'll tell you, is our houses are worth a lot less than they were. Lot. Now, new people coming in and buying, You know, both of my children, my son, married, two kids, bought a home that was probably $250,000 before I got it for $85,000. Pool, three bedroom, two bath, nice neighborhood. My other daughter, she's getting, she wants to get bigger house. I get bigger house than you. And she's willing to pay $160,000 for a nice home, tile roof, multi-level, got not nice. Nice. Matter of fact, tomorrow night, they're finally going to sign the papers today. Now, it was $173,000 that they went down. Finally, it's bank owned. They go here, somebody take it. Appraiser goes out there and say, hey, this is only worth $160,000. They go, okay, fine, but we're not paying your costs. Yeah, you are. Okay, we will. $160,000. You know, this, and I'm afraid it's going to go down even more. Heck, it's going to be $60,000. I'm like, you know, you guys got to understand, you know, this is, yeah, but our payments are only, you know, fill in the blank, $1,100 or something. My son's is $600-something for a nice three-bedroom, two-bath home with a pool here in Phoenix. $600-something a month. My other son just got engaged. I got two boys, two girls, you know. I got a third one on the way to get married, and they're going, we'll buy us a house. And I'm like, look, you know, it's a good time to buy now because the interest rates are still low. So your monthly payment may only be $600 or something, which is not bad. You know, it's like, you know, your parents may be out there back in the day, they bought homes and they're making $200 a month payment when, you know, at a time when everybody else's is $2,000. What does that tell you? You know, it's a tenth, the inflation, 10 times what payments are for the same home later. You know, it's just, so I'm going, you know, what can we look to in the future? I'll bet you they're going to be upside down in a home, even with a low payment. They're going to be upside down in the home. These prices aren't going to go up for long. They're going to keep going down, I'm telling you. And they go, but Dad, our payments only. All right, fine. You know, just FYI, you're fully informed. So I need it. We got Stuart Veneer on. Now, Stuart, he has realtycrisis.com. He helps people out in these situations so that they can just get out from under this. Still live there until they finally kick them out. But now he does all the paperwork, take care of it, takes the tax hit and everything. Don't worry about it. He's got it taken care of. But he's out there on the front lines. How's business, Stuart? I mean, there are a lot of people taking advantage of your service. What's going on?
We are pretty busy. I would rather be doing loans for people, but we are busy. We've helped a lot of people, but we've got a lot of problems out there in this country. The housing crisis really isn't going to correct itself until the rest of the country corrects itself. It's not going to happen until the demand for housing equals or exceeds the supply. And right now it's the other way around.
Okay, now how are they keeping the supply off the market? My wife is the real estate agent for my kids. You know, she's a real estate agent. She's been doing this a long time. In fact, I have my license. You know, I've been involved in I just did it because I had 3 weeks and took the class and everything. I sent them all down anyway. But it was interesting education that I got out of this thing. And I'm just going, okay, so let me tell you, you know, from my perspective, what's going on. There is a glut of homes sitting out there at the peak in 07, 06, 07, at the peak here in Arizona, 40% of the homes that were for sale were vacant. That is unsustainable. Now we have articles on Freedom's Phoenix yesterday saying that the government is talking about putting for rent on all of these homes that Freddie and Fannie own. They need to do something. They're not selling them. They got to do something with them. So I'm wondering, you got to tell me, where's this inventory? It's just sitting there? People are going in taking the copper? I mean, what's going on with
it? A lot of them are sitting vacant. It's really not very good. But the big problem that we're faced is not so much just housing. It's the whole economy. I mean, people do not have the confidence or the ability to go out and buy a home today. And that's not going to happen until we have a change of administration or a complete change in attitude of this administration, which I don't see happening. The businesses aren't hiring people. The employment figures are atrocious in most of the country. And people just don't have the ability and the desire to go out and buy a home and make that leap.
Don't tell me you think they're going to elect a Republican president and happy days are here again. I mean, is that what you're holding out for?
I'm sure hoping that, but, you know, we cannot.
And what are they going to do? What are they going to do that's going to make the difference? What are they going to do? Eliminate the Fed? They're going to stop the corruption? They're going to stop the spending in Congress? They're not going to extend the debt? They're not going to, I mean, come on, they're going to stop the wars? They're going to bring home the empire? They're not going to, you know, increase the debt? I mean, what is a Republican going to do? Help me out here, man.
Well, the first thing I'd like to see is, number one, get rid of this Dodd-Frank bill. Get rid of this horrible health care bill. Drill for oil everywhere, and make some lasting, permanent tax cuts and incentives for business. And this country can turn itself around. It's not going to happen with what we have in
Congress. It can turn itself around in a freaking micro moment. The second government just gets the hell out of the way. But they don't want to get out of the way. They just want to, you know, turn the lever a different way or turn the dial or something. You know, they still want to micromanage and socially and economically engineer you. And until they stop doing that, markets are going to flood their money somewhere else. They're going to say, look, man, yeah, we're not doing business here in America. You know, because it's, and to think that the Republicans, even if they get, make you feel better with their rhetoric, it's what they do, and they keep increasing. You think they're going to give up something?
Well, I can only hope for that, but it's the big power that the people have is the power of the vote. And if people can show this and do the right thing and vote for the right people, then I think it can change, but it's not going to happen easily.
Okay, it's gone. Let's go ahead and walk this through. Republican Eisenhower, Democrat JFK, Democrat LBJ, Republican Nixon, Republican Ford, Democrat Carter, Republican Reagan, Republican Daddy Bush, Democrat Clinton, Republican George W, www.warmonger.com, and we have Democrat Obama. And I'm wondering, at what point did any of them reduce government? When did that happen?
Well, I think Eisenhower was a great president. I mean, this country thrived under Eisenhower. I think Reagan did a great job.
Government increased. The debts increased. The wars increased. You know, I mean, it's just, and when we went through the SNL thing was kind of a byproduct of Reagan going, you know what? We're going to deregulate banking, savings, and loan. You can do whatever you want. Oh, but by the way, we're going to insure it. Oh, what'd you think was going to happen? You know,
well, that was a big mistake because all he did was redo and remake the savings and loan crisis of a decade earlier.
Yeah, and this is what they're doing now. They're going, you know what? We're going to deregulate. Oh, we need deregulation. Libertarians are all about deregulate all you want, but don't make me on the hook to pay for when they screw up, which is what Ron Paul keeps going on about this malinvestment thing. Of course they're going to do it because they know they are safe. They're going to get taken care of. And if they didn't get some blank filled in to where they're guaranteed to get taken care of, all right, we'll just make a new one and just give you $700 billion. Oh, and you need more? Well, Federal Reserve will print that up too. Oh, and you need more overseas? We'll just give them central banks some more money too. I mean, this is so broke. What is the flush? When does this all get fixed? How does it get flushed out? It is not going to be the election of any Republican, even Dr. Paul. There has to be an actual implosion of the entire system, or all of a sudden Congress and the Senate come up with, you know what, we're going to be a free society again. When's that going to happen? How is this going to change?
I don't know, Ernest. I know that something has to change, or we're really going down the tubes.
No, we're going down the tubes. That's how it's going to change. We need to prepare. Got chickens? I mean, you know, this is what I'm talking about. So I need from you, when we come back in the next segment, I'm going to need, you know, just give me some anecdotal, evidence, some stories, some, you know, your personal experiences about, you know, what you're doing in the field that you are and how the banks are making use of the turmoil that's going on now to hide or do. I don't see how they've held off this long. And we haven't even gotten to the commercial real estate yet. That ain't even been scratched yet. You know, we hadn't even taken off the first shoe yet. We just took off the shoe, hadn't dropped it. We're just smelling the sock. Man, you wait till the shoes start raining. Oh, we'll talk about more with Stuart Vanier from RealtyCrisis.com here and Declare Your Independence just a little bit.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
It's the same old story, same old song and dance.
Same. I heard this over and over. I'm old enough. I'll tell you, Stuart, I hit that top of the hill thing. I'm not over the hill. I'm top of the hill. Long, infinite mesa. It's called, I'm 50 years old. I get to say, you know what? I've been through this before. Again and again. And you probably my senior by a little bit. You know, how many times you've seen this go, this cycle go? Huh?
I've seen it a lot of times, but not as bad as this.
No, it's not as bad. And it kept, whenever it happened, they didn't let it flush out. They didn't fix it. They didn't change it. They just band-aided it over. They did some too big to fail, whatever regulation, whatever rubber bands around Jell-O kind of thing, and they go, oh, it's okay now. We pushed it off till the next election. Well, now it doesn't matter. Elections from election. It don't mean anything. And here we go. So I'm going, all right, tell us a little bit about commercial real estate. What's the exposure there?
Well, commercial real estate is huge, and that hasn't hit yet. It's just starting, and that could be as big a debacle as we've had with housing or very close to it. We're far from correcting the problem.
And how do we correct the problem? That's why I wanted to have you on, Stray. I'll let you do your, you know, commercial, man. You know, I'm glad you're helping people and you even help some friends, but I tell you, you know, your rubber meets the road. You're out there dealing with the banks on a regular, if not daily, basis. So is my wife. Because there is no real estate unless it's some short sale. I'm getting freebie kind of low. And if you're out there and trying to sell your own home, you have to get underneath the price of the banks. I mean, this is, you know, it's an implosion of the entire economy, and it's taking housing with it. We haven't got to commercial yet. So you're saying, and the solution is we'll elect a Republican? Seriously?
It's certainly something different than what we have. But I don't know. You're probably right that no one there in Congress will really do what they have to do and what they're supposed to do. But you've really got to get this country back in shape. And, you know, right now interest rates are historically low. And the interest rates are really tied to the long-term treasury, not to the federal fund rates. And the long-term treasury has stayed good, not because the security is that good, because Europe is so much worse. And people just don't know have a place to put their money. This is the closest thing to a safe haven, but it's
okay.
Not so safe anymore.
That's what they want us to believe. All right. This is my opinion. As we go further into the future, and we found this out, we already knew it. That's why Dr. Paul did this audit the Fed thing. We want the books and tell us what you did and so on. And we find out trillions, double digits, trillions of dollars goes to foreign banks. Then you start finding out that while we have this, all of a sudden we see, oh, it's a flight to safety. Yeah, we think the U.S. debt, at, you know, while they're doing this, you know, ceiling extension thing and all this, you know, we're going to flood over there. No. A lot of the people, where'd they go? Heck, South Korea even is going and buying gold. That's why it keeps going up. But they say, oh, no, flight to safety is the treasuries. And I'm going, really? That's safe? Really? Seriously? That's where safety is? Well, they may perceive it that way. They may have done the rules that they have to do that and so on. But I'll guarantee you, we're going to find out in the future that the Federal Reserve is responsible for buying them. I'm going, you know, this is, they're just, it's just another way of manipulation and monetizing and whatever. I go, it's, and what did Bernanke say? He's going, oh yeah, man, it's all good. Don't worry about it. You know, QE47, Greenspan on television last Sunday, he goes like this. He says, we'll never default. We got the printing press. Uh-huh. I'm going, okay, well, you know, thanks for being honest. I mean, because that, and then what happens? Gold spikes up. Well, what'd you think was going to happen? It just guaranteed, you know, saying that, you know, dollars are going to be worth less to the point they're going to be worthless. So I'm going, okay, all right, I get it. So this is, you know, help me out, man. You got to, how wrong is my scenario?
Well, no, you've got it pretty well on the head. But now we're getting the wake-up call from the Chinese. They're calling and they're demanding that we become a little fiscally more responsible, which is kind of funny. You know, when you run your credit cards up real high, you'll get a call from someone in India asking you about your accounts. Now, we're getting a call from our creditors.
Well, that's what's happening in Europe. They said, they go, well, we need Greece. If you want us to bail you out and give you some more money, we're going to need you to be more responsible. We got an austerity plan for you. We're going to take away all the programs and the goodies that the people out in the streets begging for or whatever. And to make sure that you do it, we're going to have some kind of a veto power. European Union's going to have some kind of an integral part inside the economy of your country, and we control, and now you're not sovereign anymore and everything. You want the money, don't you? Well, Iceland goes, bite me. We don't want, have a nice day. We vote over and over and over. We're not paying off your debt. Get out. So I'm going, you know, this is, it's so, you want a one world government, you know, I'll give you one world revolution, and that's what's going on all over the world. And everybody
exactly
wants to
right.
Couch this in that something that it's not. Oh, they're what? You know, they're just making it up as they go along. What's really happening is the Central European banks, through the European Union, their political whatever, they're trying to get their hands in the sovereignty of these little nations, saying, You want us to bail your banks out, not even the people, or the country or whatever. You want us to bail you out? Fine. We get to have legislative control over your purse. Well, then here we got, and we bitch about that and say, oh, that's bad, that's bad, that's bad. And here comes China saying, you know what?
Same thing.
Same thing.
Which is why interest rates are going to have to go up, because those T-bills are going to have to drop in value. And if they drop, the yields rise.
Yeah.
And that's what has to happen.
Yeah, because so if somebody, they want us to, they're going to invest money in us, you better give them some return. It's negative. You know, here, kid, let me give you some money so that I can lose money. And with inflation, I even lose more. Heck, they were, during when it was plummeting in the last week, beginning of this week, there were banks that were charging to hold your money.
That's right.
So I'm going, does anybody see what's going on here? This is over, man. It's over. And I'm going.
And exactly right. And 3/4 of the money in the United States is held in 10 banks. That's scary.
And they're going to consolidate into none or one or the. And then what's the threat do you feel about them going? Everybody's all worried about the Amero. And I go, BS, man. They're going to the world, though. This is all about having one big giant we rule unit. You know, what they call them, certificates of deposit or something. You know, this SDR, whatever the heck right. It is. You know, that they're doing on a world scale. They've been doing that for decades. They've just been sitting there waiting for this to happen.
And our president promised us change, and that's what we're getting.
Yeah, chinkle, chinkle in our pocket. You know, I'm looking for a solution that's a little bit more, you know, a little deeper than putting a R behind the name of some guy in the White House. I mean, seriously?
You know, the person I like, and I don't think he's electable, but I like Gingrich.
And why would you pick him over anybody?
I think he has some baggage, but if you take the personal issues away, I think the man's probably one of the smartest people out there.
And what's his plan? I mean, I'm sure he's got a plan for me, and doesn't include my plan, but what's his plan?
Well, from what I understand, he's really, we need someone in office who's going to try to get rid of these social programs to try to make this country solvent again. And that's what we need.
That sounds like a Dr. Paul thing, man. Sounds like a Ron Paul thing.
Well, I like Ron Paul, but do you think he's electable? That's the problem.
No, whether he is or not, it is not even the point. They're not going to allow a change before an implosion, because that would mean that they lose control. See, they don't care, you know, that they make, it's like bookies. Goes up, it goes down. They don't care. They get their cut. They just want to make sure that whoever controls the money stays in power, the Federal Reserve. All the other stuff is just ancillary. It doesn't matter. They don't care.
You're exactly right.
So until we attack that, and the one thing you got to give Dr. Paul some props, man, he made this Federal Reserve thing a national, international, presidential, now we know what the heck's going on issue, and it never, ever, ever was before.
No, you're exactly right. And Ron Paul would be a great president, but I don't think he's electable. And we have a terrible person in there right now that has to be defeated.
Okay, so who's electable? On the Republicans, let's get, you know, who's the electable guy?
You know, I don't know. I don't see anyone really good emerging. I'm not crazy about Romney. I really don't particularly like Romney. Maybe Rick Perry might be better. I mean, anyone would be better than what we have.
Well, we're going
to
watch the debates
something.
Tonight. You going to watch the debates tonight, Stuart?
I sure am.
Yeah. We're going to watch them here, too. On my 27th wedding anniversary, we're going to put it off a little bit, spend our anniversary with some friends. Donna says it's okay. And we're going to watch the debate tonight. Dr. Ron Paul, clean up, slap him around, be slapping, boom, 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 boom. And then what? What are the talking heads going to say? How much respect are they going to give him? Are they even going to freaking understand what he's saying? Well, more and more people are. Hey, thanks to Stuart Vanier for coming on. I appreciate it, man. We'll
Thank
talk
you,
to you
Evan.
Again soon. We'll
Thank
be right
you,
back
Evan.
Next hour. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. Readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured. Tour.